Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. So thankful for each of you, saints and guests alike, that are here in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Love the people of God. Love the saints of God. Amen. You're a wonderful, wonderful church and group of people. Luke chapter number 18 and verse 9, and he spake, this is Jesus, this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed, thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want you to note verse 13, and the Bible says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I simply want to preach what I felt on my heart last evening. I want to preach the most powerful prayer a person can pray. The most powerful prayer that a person can pray. Would you lift up your hands again with me and let's pray together for the anointing and the touch of God to come down in this house. We truly need the Lord. We need His strength. We need His blessing in the remainder of this service. Jesus, we look to You again. We thank You for everything that we have experienced and felt thus far up until this point in the service. We thank You for the anointing that we felt already here, the presence of God that we felt already in this place. And I pray, God, that You would only intensify that anointing and Your presence and Your glory in this house. I pray, God, that You would touch the needs of people, minister to the lives of individuals that are gathered here under the sound of my voice. Anoint me to preach Your gospel today, and I pray that You would anoint every person as they are hearers of the word. I pray it in Jesus' name. And could you give Him thanks? Could you give Him praise with me? Come on, let's lift up our voices unto God. He is so worthy. Hallelujah. He is so worthy. Hallelujah. God, You're so good. How many He's been good to you this week? He's blessed you this week. He's helped you this week. Praise God. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. The most powerful prayer that a person could pray. The Bible records some very powerful and wonderful prayers as you look through the Word of God. We have the privilege of eavesdropping on several intimate conversations between God and man. I suppose the idea of prayer began all the way back in the beginning, all the way back into the Garden of Eden. As in the cool of the day, the Scripture tells us that God would spend time with Adam and Adam with God. And it was a time that I believe with all of my heart Adam looked forward to. It was an appointment that he had with God, and he looked forward to this fellowship that he would have with the Lord. Can you imagine what an intimate and close relationship that Adam must have had with God before sin entered into the world? Before that separation came, before sin was ever even in the picture, what a relationship that Adam had with God. But as much as Adam must have looked forward to that appointment, I also believe that God looked forward to that time. And could I just stop for a moment and say that God looks forward to our times of coming into his presence. As much as we need it, as much as we are blessed by it, as much as it benefits our spiritual man to spend time in the presence of God. How many knows that the presence of the Lord can sort of be absorbed? Amen. As you spend time in the presence of God, you become more sensitive to him, and it affects you like nothing else. The Bible said after leaving the presence of the Lord that Moses' face shone with the glory of God. And I believe that a saint of God that spends regularly time in the presence of the Lord, it affects them. And it also is noticeable to those that are around them. And what a joy it is to have the privilege to pray and to come into the presence of God and seek the face of the Lord. And Adam would spend time with God. There's other prayers that we read about in the Bible, prayers of desperation, prayers of intercession, prayers for healing, prayers for deliverance, prayers for salvation, prayers of faith, and prayers for nations. There's also many very personal prayers that are recorded in the Word of God. And as I begin to consider this and think over it here this morning as I was studying, preparing myself for this service today, I thought of Moses. Who could forget Moses' prayer as he stood between an angry God and a nation of people that had turned against God and rebelled against God and were dancing before a golden image and had fallen into idolatry? And God was so angry with them and frustrated with them. He said, if you'll just step aside, Moses. He said, I'll wipe them out. But this man that was so godly, this man had such a relationship with God. He had just spent a lot of time with God in the mountain alone, and God had spoken to him some very sacred things. God had revealed to him the first five books of your Bible. God had revealed to him many revelations that we glean from today. This was a man that had a special relationship with God. And Moses simply stood there in the face of God and said, no, if you choose to wipe them out, wipe me out along with them, God. And there's no greater prayer of intercession that we read about in the Word of the Lord than this prayer that Moses prayed. Prayer of intercession. Many of you know what it is to stand in the gap and take up the hedge and pray and seek with a burden God for the soul of somebody else. Many of us are in this room here this morning because somebody felt that burden of intercession. Somebody got under the spirit of it all, and they begin to pray and they begin to seek the face of God. And no doubt many of us were spared from the judgments of God. We were spared from accidents that could have taken our life. We were protected in situations that could have harmed us because somebody was sensitive enough. Somebody called with their voice crying out to God and seeking the face of the Lord with a heavy burden. And we're here today because of those prayers that we're praying. When you're considering prayer, one couldn't overlook Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. As he was there desperate. You talk about a prayer of desperation. He was desperate for God to do something in his life. He needed that assurance. Has anybody ever been there when you just needed to know that God was with you? You wondered if God had not forgotten you. You wondered if you were not alone in your troubles and in your problems. And this was the situation with Jacob. And he got a visitation. An angel of the Lord visited him and began to wrestle with him. And I suppose in normal circumstances, and the normal individual, the average person, would have been satisfied had they seen an angel, experienced a visitation of this sort. But it wasn't the case with Jacob. He needed more than just a little visitation. He needed the Lord to bless him. He needed some things to be confirmed to him in his life. And so when the breaking of the day, after he had wrestled throughout the midnight hour and into the twilight time, just before the sun is rising in the east, the angel spoke to him and said, "Let me go." And he said, "I refuse to let you go until you bless me." He hung on, and he continued to wrestle with this angel and converse with this angel. I'm going to tell you, prayer is a lot like that sometimes. Amen. We got to wrestle through our flesh, and we got to wrestle through the problems and the struggles and the challenges. And I just want to be honest with you. Sometimes prayer, it comes easy. I mean, you can just walk into the sanctuary and it seems like you can tap right into the vein and you get right into the flow and it just comes easy. But there's sometimes you got to push against this flesh, and you got to push against spirits of hindrance and things that would try to distract you and get in your way. And you got to wrestle through those things to touch God. And you got to hold on until you feel the presence of the Lord and the glory of God come down. And oh, how beautiful it is when you've done that. When you've stayed until God's Spirit moves. When you've prayed until you've gotten the breakthrough. You prayed and you sought the face of God until the answer comes. There's no greater feeling when you got up and you know that I didn't leave too early, but I stayed here until I got something from God. I prayed until I got a breakthrough from the Lord. I sought the face of God until something happened in my life. I've come to encourage somebody. Maybe you're in that moment right now where you're struggling in your prayers and you feel like heaven's brass and you feel like you can't seem to get through. Keep on praying, brother. Keep on praying, sister. It may seem like there's no effect. It may seem like nothing's happening. But if you keep on pushing against the powers of darkness, and if you keep on praying and seeking the face of God, your answer's forthcoming. The promise of the Word of God is there that it will pray. God hears us and responds to us when we pray. Lift up your voice just now and let's praise the Lord and pray and cry out to Him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, what about Hezekiah? You talk about praying. You talk about God intervening. The prophet came and said, "I know you've been sick, King, but I've come to tell you some bad news. I've come to add insult to injury, and that is that this sickness that you have is a sickness that is unto death. You better set your house in order. You're going to die." That's just the facts. That's what God spoke to me. And there's no evidence that Isaiah stayed around and consoled him. There's no evidence where he stayed around and patted on him. And matter of fact, he just turned on his heels and walked away. But when he did, Hezekiah had a place in his palace where he prayed and he sought God. He got down to business, friends, and he began to pour his heart out to the Lord. He said, "By these things men live." Amen. Let me just tell you something. There's some things that you can live by. There's some things that will work, and prayer is one of them. I said, prayer is one of them. It's kept me alive, and it'll keep you alive. I'm not just talking physically, but I'm also talking spiritually. You can thrive. You can go forward. You can progress in God as you pray and as you seek the face of the Lord. And so Hezekiah began to cry out to God that he would extend his life and change his mind. And that prayer was so powerful, the scripture says, that God extended his life 15 years, and it happened so quickly. I mean, he got into that place of prayer and got a hold of God so quickly that before the prophet could even get off the property, he had to turn around and tell him, I don't know what you've done. I don't know how that you've done it and touching God like you have, but he certainly changed his mind and spoke to me that 15 years will be extended to your life, added to your life. I'm telling you, people can get a hold of God. I said, it may seem hopeless, but people can touch the Lord. Amen. People can pray. Prayer does make a difference. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and tell you that it doesn't make a difference whether or not you pray. Oh, don't ever let the devil tell you that it doesn't make a difference when you seek God, when you get down to business, when you really pour your heart out that nobody's listening. I don't believe that for a moment. I've got too many testimonies. I got too many instances in my life. I got too many times that I can look back to where God heard and answered my prayer. Am I alone in this place, or is there somebody else that can testify that God has heard my prayer? God has honored his word. Somebody's going to pray a prayer right here in this room this morning that's going to touch heaven, and there's going to be change, and there's going to be transformation, and something powerful is going to happen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Look in the New Testament. Look at Cornelius. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 that he prayed. This was a man that had no covenants, had no promises. This was a man that up until this point, the Holy Ghost had not been poured out upon the Gentile. This was a man that was outside of the Jewish nation, but God had a plan, and God had a desire and a promise to fulfill. And he was dealing with a man of God at the same time by the name of Simon Peter, had the keys that was going to unlock the door to the Gentile church. And this was the start of it. But how did that door get thrust open? How did that door get unlocked? I'll tell you, it was through a man by the name of Cornelius that got to seeking God for more, that got hungry, that said, I can't be satisfied with just religiosity. I can't just be satisfied with just going and patty caking and going through the motions. But I got to have God in my life. I got to be changed. I want to be trans. There's got to be more out there than just what I've got. And he, in his sincerity, he gave alms, and in his sincerity prayed. There's two things that I see about Cornelius and his prayers that made the difference. First of all, they were sincere prayers. Amen. The Bible said he resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves before God, we get sincere before the Lord. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what your past is, what your last name is. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks you live on. If you're sincere here this morning, it doesn't matter how ugly it is back there. It doesn't matter how many scars upon you. If you get sincere before God, God will hear your prayer, and God will respond to you. God will answer you. God will work in your life. If you sincerely cry out to God, as you humbly cry out to God. And then the second thing was the consistency of it. The consistency of it. He said, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial unto God. Amen. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen just one prayer meeting. That's where we fall out sometimes. That's where we lose heart sometimes. But he just came, and it was just like one stone upon another, one step at a time, a little bit higher. He was building that memorial every time he went before God, every time he prayed in sincerity, every time he cried out unto the Lord. God began to work, and God began to notice something's happening. Oh, he's not going to give up. There's persistency here. There's faithfulness here. This is somebody that really does desire more of me. And he dealt with a man that was plumb over on another area in a core on the coast and away from this area, and God gave him a vision, and he said, I got to go down to where this man is and preach the gospel to him, because this prayer has come up as a memorial unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to encourage somebody in the Holy Ghost, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking the face of God. Keep on crying out. Keep on, amen, in your hunger, lifted up your voice to God. In our text, the Lord in Acts 18 is addressing, or rather Luke 18 is addressing, he's addressing some pious people. Some people that are very religious, but they don't have much of a relationship with God. Very prideful in their ways. And the Lord is addressing them. And he gives this example of a Pharisee. And this Pharisee has faith in his fleshly deeds. He has this confidence in his own abilities. He's memorized prayer book after prayer book. He knows just how to enter into the temple. He knows just where to stand to get the most attention. He knows just how to cup his hands around his mouth and just how much volume he has to exude so that he can catch everybody's attention and they can be in awe of how eloquent his prayers are and how poetic his prayers are. And they can be impressed by this Pharisee as he stands there in his piousness. And he says, oh, I thank God I'm not like other men. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that I am a Pharisee. And I thank you, Lord, that I got it all down pat. They're trying to figure it out, but I got it. And he goes through this prayer that he's memorized. It's not heartfelt. It's not coming from his spirit. It's not a prayer of desperation. It's one that he's prayed 1,000 times over. It's the same little cliches and catchy words. And it's the same little poetic ditty that he always goes through. And he stands there and he rattles it off. And he thinks to himself as he adjusts his robe and begins to leave how impressive he is. And then he notices out of the corner of his eye someone that cannot come as close as he can. And someone that does not have even the same attitude in the least that he does. A publican. Matter of fact, when they said it with a little bit of disdain. They said it with enunciation and emphasis on certain parts of that word, a publican. They kind of spit when they said it because it was people that they despised. It was people that they looked down on. It was people that they had nothing to do with. They had no fellowship with. A publican. Look at him over there. I thank God that I'm not like him. He's a sinner. Oh, but this man, as he stood over there, he could not even lift his eyes, the scripture says, to heaven. And he smote his breast. Amen. And he cried out to God with a loud voice, Lord, be merciful upon me. I know what I am. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner separated from you except for your grace. If you're not merciful to me, I have no hope. Amen. God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to make a way for me. God, I need your help in my life. I need you. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Can I tell you that the most powerful prayer that a person could pray, and I've seen some powerful prayers, is not the prayer of faith necessarily. And it takes faith to do what I'm talking about. And it's not the prayer for healing, and it's not necessarily the prayer for a nation. It's not necessarily some of the prayers that we went through that were so eloquent. Talk about Solomon's prayer and how eloquent it was. It goes through chapters of your Bible. And then the glory of the Lord was ushered in, and the presence of God was so strong that the priest could not bear to minister. But the most powerful prayer, according to the Word of God, is the prayer of a sinner repenting before God and crying out, Amen. And saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm wanting to turn away from sin, wanting to turn away from the world. The most powerful prayer that a person could pray is the prayer of repentance before God. Amen. That's what gets the attention of heaven. The Bible said, as a matter of fact, that when one sinner, there may be a lot of prayers going up. There may be a lot of prayers being offered. There may be a lot of people that are down crying out. But when one sinner, all of heaven stands erect with attention. When one sinner cries out to God and says, I'm sorry for my sin. I need you to change my life. When one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. You got all of heaven's attention when one sinner cries out to God. If you're here and you acknowledge the fact that I got sin in my life and I can't take care of it on my own. Amen. There's problems. There's difficulties. I'm bound. There's things that I can't overcome. I tried it, preacher. I'm going to tell you, there's one prayer that you can pray this morning that'll bring deliverance, that'll bring help, that'll bring God's mercy, that'll bring God's forgiveness, that'll bring hope to your life, and that is the prayer of repentance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord, help me. A sinner. A sinner. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need you, God. I need your touch. I need your delivering power. Every once in a while, I go over there to Psalms 51. I read that. Oh, a man that was after God's own heart. A man, though he was after God's own heart, he was still a man. He was still in need of God's mercy. He was still in need of what I'm talking about here, and that is repentance. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. You don't ever get to the place you don't need to repent. I said, you don't ever get to the place you don't need an altar in your life. You don't ever get so righteous that you can't humble yourself and say, God, help me. Deliver me. Be merciful to me. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. You ever noted that tender mercy? Sometimes things are so fragile if you were clumsy. Amen. If somebody's not real careful, it can do more harm. You know, they tell me that surgeons sometimes, it's so intricate. Somebody that's clumsy can make a mistake and they can cut something that does not need to be cut in the surgery, and it could cost somebody their life. They could overlook something in their carelessness. It's not a time to be careless or clumsy. You that know anything about gardening know that there's times when the plant is tender, and even the Bible talks about that. It says that a real heavy rain upon a tender plant is not what it needs, but it needs dew, and it needs a tender rain to fall upon it. And that's the way the mercies of God is, according to the word of the Lord. It comes to us as we need it. Aren't you thankful for those gully worshipers of the Holy Ghost? Aren't you thankful for the powerful moves of God? But every time that happens, we feel, those of us a little more mature in God, we can feel it, we can experience it. But sometimes God needs to come in a tender rain of mercy and shower down upon people and let them feel his touch and feel that little nudge towards the altar. Feel that little touch of God that says, there is hope for you. There is a place you can find forgiveness. He said, according to the tender mercies, deal with me, God. Be tender with me. I'm fragile right now. I need you, God, to help me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. I can't seem to get it out of my mind, and I need you to wipe me clean of it. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part that thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. Before that work of restoration comes, there's got to be repentance. There's got to be a place in an altar. There's got to be a place where you ask God to forgive you. There's got to be a turning away from that sin before God can even begin to rebuild and restore and renew in your life. But some of us, we need a renewed right spirit in us. I said we need the Lord to renew a right spirit, because just living life, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how full of the Holy Ghost you may think that you are. There's the danger of bitterness entering in. There's the danger of hostility and anger and jealousy and envy entering in. There's the danger of a spirit of discord getting in your heart. There's a critical spirit that'll try to come around and find a seat bed in your soul. And you need to find an altar and say, God, renew in me a right spirit. I'm going to come just like I did. Anybody remember when you came the first time to an altar? You didn't come haughty. You didn't come with pride. You didn't come down to this altar and cry out to God, even with a puffed up attitude. You came saying, God, some of us came crawling to an altar. Some of us came bawling to an altar. Some of us come sobbing down to this altar. We need to let hot tears bathe our cheeks again. We need to be broken in the presence of the Lord again. We need God to stir us and shake us up again. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. And he said, teach me. Teach me, God. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. We're talking about a prayer of repentance here. And God honored that and restored this man. What about Jonah? Who was disobedient to God. God called him to do something. God spoke in his life and he wasn't obedient. He said, I don't want to do that. He went a different direction. And oh, the price that he paid. And a storm came. And I won't belabor the story, but tossed overboard in a whale's belly. And it was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly before there's any record of him praying and repenting. I don't know about you. It wouldn't take that long for me. But some people can endure a whole lot of hardship. Some people can be so stubborn sometimes. And God has to break things. And God has to deal with us and stir us up. Oh, God has to rid us of our self-righteousness. And God has to do some things in our hearts to break us in all the right places so that we'll draw close to him. God began to stir this man. And finally, he said, I don't know which way Jerusalem is in this whale's belly, but I'm going to do my best to face towards that city. And I'm going to pray depending on that promise of God that he gave Solomon, that if a man would face that temple and pray and repent, that you would hear him. Didn't matter how far he was away. He may be a stranger, but you would hear him. He began to pray and he began to repent. And God allowed him to be vomited out on the shores of the place that he needed to be. And he began to preach a message. What about the Ninevites? Talk about a story of repentance and the hope of repentance. This was a city that God had determined to judge. This was a nation of people and a gathering of people that God said, I've had it with them. They're evil. And when you study about the Ninevites, you find that they were a very cold-blooded, barbaric type people. And they were a civilization of people that were godless. And he said, I've had it with them. I'm going to wipe them off the map. Judgment's coming. Jonah, all I want you to do is tell them. And Jonah didn't really have much of a burden for those folks. And he went through the city telling them of the judgments that were to come. And the king, somehow the message came to him. And he said, you know what? I don't know if God will hear us or not. I don't know if this will work or not. But you know what? We don't have anything to lose at this point. If we don't get in touch with God, it's over with. We're going to be wiped out. We're done. Judgment's coming. And so the Bible tells us a very moving story and how that king with his crown and his royal robes got up off of his throne and he descended from that throne and began to take those royal robes off. And he took the crown off his head. He said, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to make some changes in my life. I'm going to lead this people in a prayer of repentance. I'm going to put on sackcloth. And if God would some way hear us, if God is a God that has any mercy at all, I want to prostrate myself before him and lead this people in a mass prayer of repentance. Some way I hear that same spirit that we read about in Luke 18 coming to the surface here. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, hear my voice. God, hear my cry. God, respond to me. I need you to be merciful to me. The most powerful prayer that you can pray is the prayer of repentance. The prayer of saying, God, I'm sorry. I need you. I'm turning my back on the world. Turning my back on my old habits and sin. I'm turning my back on the things that I used to do. I need you in my life, God. Is there somebody to join me right now in prayer? Is there somebody, amen, that sees a need of finding an altar here this morning? Is there somebody that sees a need of making your way and saying, God, amen, I humble myself in your presence. I seek your face. I call upon your name. I need you more than I need anything else in this life. More than I need anything, I've got to have you. I've got to have your delivering power. I've got to have your strength. Would you stand with me right now? Let's pray that the Lord God of heaven would touch us in this place. Let's pray that the Lord God of heaven would move in this place. Is there somebody that will humble themselves and take up a spirit of sackcloth and say, God, help me, help me. I need your help here this morning. I'm not too prideful to come to an altar. I'm not too prideful to bow knee. I'm not too prideful to let hot tears flow. I'm not too prideful to be broken in your presence. I need some help today. I need some deliverance today. I need some forgiveness today. Help me. Help me. Oh, is there a cry of help that could go forth here this morning? Is there a cry of help that could go forth here this morning? Don't go over there and just sit down. I want you guys to help me pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, I need you to help me pray today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's cry out to God. Let's seek the face of the Lord. Oh, come on, let's cry out to the Lord. He's here to help us. He's here to help us. He's here to help us. Oh, we'll cry out to him. He's here to help us today. He's a God that will forgive. He's a God that will restore. He's a God that gives hope. He's a God that gives assurance. He's a God that will give revival to your spirit and soul here this morning if you'll cry out to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let him hear your voice today. Let him hear your voice today. Is there somebody that will repent before God? Is there somebody that will cry out before God here this morning? Somebody say, God, I'm not too big to pray. I'm not too big to humble myself at an altar. Oh, yes, yes, hallelujah. Oh, yes, God, I pray, Lord, for your help. I pray, God, for your touch. I pray, God, for you to make a change in me.